studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Americans in any way, shape, or form.
I wouldn't know about that.
And he's not talking about our program, but.
Oh, I thought he was.
That's right. Watch out. We're coming.
We target every program and innocent everybody.
That's right. When you least expect it, we are there.
You've got your speakers on, haven't you?
I did. I just turned them down. That's because, you know, see, it's not all just work back here at the main studio, you know. Just because you're over in a little tiny remote studio. I'm over here, you know, we got the glass and the walls and a really damn good sound system. So it's we can walk out when nobody's looking.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's not. I've got a bigger room than you are, and at least it's got a sound system.
Audio wars. Who are we, and what should people that are listening to this craziness do?
Well, good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and KRBNRadio.com. And we're a couple of people that just sit here and raise hell about everything.
That's right. You have an opinion? Well, so do we. And that's basically what this show's base is, our opinions. And if you want your opinion expressed, well, you just have to give us a call, Cliff.
Yeah, because you're going to have to call and give us your opinion, because whatever your opinion is, ours is going to probably be different. So you're going to have to call us on 646-721-9887. Now, that's easy to remember. Write it down.
Okay.
Put it on the refrigerator in big letters, block letters, 646.
Okay.
Space.
Okay.
721 space. 9887. Now, that's easy. Well, it's not hard at all. And you can use lipstick if you want to put on the refrigerator. That we don't. It's not there permanently.
Sorry, Dad, I got in trouble last time.
Well, the only problem is some the finish of some refrigerators, if you wipe the lipstick off a couple weeks later, it's there forever.
That's true.
It doesn't just entirely explain.
Right,
721-9887.
How else can they get a hold of us if they're not listening to us live like they should be?
They could get a hold of us by email if they want to do that. Yeah, KRBNRadio.com or something at that or whatever. They could also
talk at KRBNRadio.com.
Well, it could also be almost anything at KRBNRadio.com, I think. I'll look and find out, but that's what it usually is. Is talk is just, you know, you can, if you spell it wrong, it's no big thing. If you spell it, you know, spell it RGBLNLOP, it'll work. It doesn't get real touchy about that, I think. Now, I may have fixed that so it wouldn't. I used to do that in the olden days. Now I don't care. I just let everything go.
Just let people know the Blog Talk Radio, by the way, is having a little trouble with their server, so the chat room is down. So if you're trying
that's the chat room that's not working.
Right. So if you're trying to get on the chat room, it's still trying to reconnect to the server, so I apologize for that. So the only way you're going to be able to get a hold of us at the meantime is to give us a call, 646-721-9887. And if you're one of the 3,000, by the way, that are listening to us on the archives per week, again, thank you very much. And
send us an email.
And we do appreciate the emails. We do get a few emails each week, and sometimes correcting our stories, sometimes giving us new stories, and sometimes just saying we'd like to give you millions of dollars from an investment overseas.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. A lot of kings and queens and princes that are trying to hide their money.
That's true. But we had a lot to talk about, and some of it is actually pertaining to what we were advertising. The voice you heard at the beginning of the program was John Boehner again. He's reassuring everybody that, you know, we're not after innocent Americans. Unfortunately, sometimes I think the government thinks everybody's guilty, and there are the only innocent Americans.
Well, to me, I hate to say this, but, you know, I think he's wrong, because I think it's smart for the government to go out and get the information on all people, on all messages, and to hold that in abeyance some way, I don't know, until you need the information. Because, you know, once you find out you need some information, it's kind of hard to go get it, or the people that are giving the that you read the information from may stop giving any. And so it's better if you went out and collected that information and just set it in a bank or in a hard drive or whatever you want to call it until you need it. And then that's the way they're doing it, I think, regardless of what they're trying to convince us of.
So that way that anything that you say or do 3 years ago can and will be used you with or without a court of law.
Well, I agree with the court of law. They have to go to a court of law and they have to actually get that to get the information, but it has to be available to get.
I guess the thing is that it depends on the information. I mean, like, for example, this is kind of the extreme, but who knows, maybe 10 years from now or maybe it's already happening. Let's say, there's a device in your car that logs every second of your trip. And you make one little tiny mistake. It's not a big mistake. Say you just drift over in the other lane just for whatever reason. Nobody's around. No big deal. You know, it's kind of like the same thing that if a tree falls in the forest type of argument. All right. Somebody comes back 5 years later and says, you know, Cliff, you were driving down Highway 101 and you just kind of slightly drifted, you know, and we're going to use that against you on this case that we're developing right now 5 years later.
That's fine. That's fine. If I did that, and of course, if it's logging things second by second, it'll tell them how long I was over the line and how far over the line I went. And it's going to obviously tell them that I immediately corrected my situation and went back where I belong.
Yeah, but technically, it's called drifting out of your lane.
But they've got the information there that can tell them how long I drifted out of lane, how far I drifted out. So consequently, I can tell, you know, if I drifted out of my lane for 2 seconds, and unless I was doing 900 miles an hour, I couldn't have gone very far in the other lane. So I couldn't have caused a problem.
That's not the point. The point is that as the way the law is written, if you're drifting out of your lane, you are in violation. It doesn't say for how long.
Well, okay, the thing is, if we're going to use this and use it the way it's supposed to be used, we're going to have to rewrite the rules and, you know, write them so that they're meaning something.
Oh, you mean like the, what was the last count? I just had it up earlier today because I was bored. Let me get down to the bottom here and just tell you how many pages it exactly is. Going down towards the end. Okay, if I hit the end button, it goes down further. Faster. Faster, further, technology, gotta love it. 2,407 pages of the Obamacare. So we'll have about.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, probably we'll have, if they rewrite anything nowadays, simple drifting out of your lane will probably be 337 pages long.
Well, then they have to go through it and read it and check it and decide if what they want is usable.
Well, actually,
but, I mean, that's up to them to do. That's not up to me.
Actually, you just made a good point since. Same thing with the immigration bill, which is over 1,000 pages now, and the NSA briefing, which is in our opener. Since Congress doesn't want to read anything or nobody wants to read anything, maybe the longer the law is for each law, the less anybody will care to enforce it.
Well, what happens, unfortunately, is they interpret the law to their own being and enforce that. They don't read the law. They don't pay attention to the law. They just enforce what they think the law is or what it should be. And unless you're smart enough to have read the law, you're just up a creek.
Well, that could be. I was unfortunately. Well, I'll admit I'm not a lawyer, and I don't have 2 days and 2 lawyers, or you know, to go through and read the law. But I've glanced at it.
Well, let's face it, if you're being held up on something, if you're being put up on some sort of a rule for infraction, you'll find time to read the law.
That's true.
You know, but if they may not. And the thing is, it's your word against theirs. And so if you can sit there and read the law and point to it in the law itself and in the 1,200 and whatever pages it happens to be, then they're pretty much stymied.
Well, and speaking of laws, now we haven't, before we get too hot and heavy into some of these topics, and I didn't announce this at the beginning, we haven't done a what the heck are they thinking segment. I have a couple things that I'd like to go ahead and do.
Okay.
A moment. And I'm queuing things up. Computers are really, all this week long, computers have been kind of weird. And it's not just mine, but even government computers. And I know I did not do any of that. So.
Well, my computers have been very good.
What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Delayed, but it worked. Okay, now what I like to do on these What the Heck segments is, normally I don't discuss them with Cliff before the program, so he has no idea.
That's true.
What I'm talking about, and I like to get his reaction. And what's kind of interesting is that the two segments I have here is actually not in the United States, but even still, it's kind of interesting to even think of it. And this one is, well, I guess you might say this is going to be a gender segment because I got one for men and one for women. This one, starting out for women, says, Venezuela is considering banning baby bottle feeding altogether. They're saying that their hopes is to improve children's health by banning baby bottles, all types of baby bottles, and forcing women to start breastfeeding.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because from what I understand, you know, not all women can or want to breastfeed. And
well, not only that, you know, there, like you say, that not all women can breastfeed. And when do they want to stop it? I mean, when do they say you can stop feeding? You know, maybe there's, I don't know, that's dumb, I think.
Yeah, that's right. The only exception, and I'm going to quote here, the only exceptions that would be allowed, such as in the case of the death of the mother. Yeah, that would kind of make it harder to, well, I don't know, I mean, you know, hold the child up! Anyway, or for the mother with limited breast milk production, as determined by the health ministry. So I guess if you're going to decide that, well, I'm just running low and you got to go in and get tested. Like,
that's great. I have to go to the doctor and find out if I can feed my kid. Meanwhile, a kid that starves to death. That's, you know, they're gonna find out that people are going to make baby bottles out of any old thing they can think of. And that's, I don't think that's really good for people. People are not going to live with that kind of a law. Because it's too easy to make up a baby bottle somehow or another.
That's right. You know what this is going to mean? It's going to create an industry called underground bottle feeding.
Yeah, really, really. It will. It will create some sort of a type of industry that will, I can see it, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's the direction of government. They think they know better than anybody else, and so they're going to fix things so that everybody's better off. That's what.
Well, and speaking of Venezuela, since we're picking on them for the moment.
Sure.
There's another. Venezuela is suffering through a crisis that can touch us all personally, especially if you're a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're running short on toilet paper.
Well,
actually a shortfall of toilet paper in Venezuela.
Well, that's ridiculous because Venezuela has lots and lots of trees. I thought they had huge amounts that would have tons and tons of paper.
Well, they're saying here that the government says it will import 50 million rolls of toilet paper. Now, here's a thought.
Yeah, but what kind of toilet paper?
It comes by ship, and the ship capsizes.
Okay. This ship won't go down. It can't go down. Toilet paper will keep it afloat.
Yeah, either toilet paper will keep it afloat or we'll have a water shortage.
I can just imagine. I just see in my mind, I can see this huge ship of toilet paper running aground somewhere.
That's right. Hazmat crews are, yeah, okay. And since we are kind of heading towards toiletry, that leads me into the male side of the segment. And this one is in Europe, where urinating standing up may soon be illegal in public
Oh, in public restrooms, okay.
Public restrooms, yes.
Well, wait a minute. In public restrooms, it's almost always impossible not to. I mean, they have a thing on the wall. You just pee on the floor. I mean, that's the thing. What are you going to do, sit down on the floor? And nah.
Now, it says here that standing up while urinating may be illegal for some men in Europe. Male representatives on the, I can't pronounce, Stormont County Council and Left Party are pushing for sitting room only public restrooms. And they said that if the male population doesn't get the idea, I'm trying to be nice, citations will be handed out for not properly urinating.
Well, what are they going to have, somebody in there watching us?
You never know.
Oh, no. You know, that's ridiculous, because that would mean that the toilet, the public toilets have to be larger, because it takes more room to sit down than it does to stand up.
That's right. The men are going to have to suffer what the women have to in that standing room to get in there.
Well, yeah. They're going to have to do a lot of changing of a lot of toilets. Of course, I guess, basically, if they're, well, I don't know.
Well, it says here that according to, University of Louisville professor John Gamble believes that the seated urination laws will not stop men from behaving in less than sanitary manner while relieving themselves. According to Gabriel's statements in the Huffman Post, splatter caused by the shake-off will still occur in Europe because no man will want to shake by sticking their hands inside the toilet.
Mm-hmm. So they'll sit down and go to the bathroom, and then they'll stand up and shake it off. Okay. I mean, that's enough. I can understand. I see what they're saying, that some people are raunchy enough and inhospitable enough, let's put it that way, as to make a mess, and some lady goes in to sit down and use the toilet. But that was why they split the toilet seats. They have toilet seats that are split in half so that you don't have that problem.
Yes, but as Johnny Carson would say, ah, oh, no way, Buganos. You are wrong. Supporters of the law against standing while urinating also believe that male health will be bolstered but when urinating while sitting on a toilet so the bladder empties more efficiently.
It does not. It absolutely does not. It's never mind. I'm not going to go into that because I have no proof of anything. And but I find that when I'm sitting down, I actually have to, it actually stops it up.
Right.
It slows me.
All I can say that if I try doing it standing up, it just makes my shoes wet.
Well, yeah, that's true. You could do it standing up. You just have to have a tool to stick in there and aim it.
That's right. We won't go that low. TMI, but anyway, that's the topics for the What the Heck Are They Thinking segment for the week. And just goes to show, once again, sometimes government just has too much on their minds.
Just goes to show, once again, we get too carried away on ridiculous subjects. I don't know about the government or not, but that's a silly thing. I mean, that's I want to see that. I want to see if they can actually accomplish that, if anybody in Europe actually does that.
Well, I'd like to go attend the court, you know, where the guy gets a ticket and he goes to court over it and hear the arguments.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that...
You know, especially if it was in the U.S. where you have to supposedly be proven guilty, you know, just...
Well, they'll put a camera in there.
No, they probably would.
I mean, that's, we've got cameras going up everywhere. That's one of your weird, obscure, you don't like that. I mean, to me, I don't care where they have cameras. They can have cameras anywhere they want cameras. If they put them in my bedroom or in my bathroom, of course, they're going to be insulted with what they see. But I don't care if there are, you know. I don't ever do anything that I really think is wrong enough that the government should care about it.
Well, just be careful when you say camera and up there in the same sentence.
Yeah.
Especially with my imagination.
Right.
There's some places that, never mind. 646-721-9887. And before we get into more serious stuff, we got a couple of events going on this weekend.
We have?
We do.
Who's we?
We got Sunday, I guess, is Father's Day, and Obama already sent out his best wishes to fathers. Send us money. and if my Google Calendar serves me correctly, I think it's also Friday was Flag Day.
Really? Friday was Flag Day, huh?
Yeah.
And we didn't probably do anything about it. And you know, Flag Day is kind of an interesting day because we shouldn't be honoring the flag. We should be honoring our country.
That's coming up on the supposed Independence Day, known as 4th of July, yes. And actually, a lot of people, when asked, do you know what 4th of July is besides the 4th day of July? And unfortunately, a lot of people now are answering, no, it's just a day we go celebrate. Celebrate what?
That's because that's all we're looking forward to nowadays is a celebration. People are not, you know, you made a mention, a big thing about Memorial Day and not knowing what that was and people not knowing and people not celebrating. I took a real close look in the next couple of days after our show was done, and there was a lot of people who were celebrating Memorial Day, a lot of people who were doing flag things, and a lot of people doing veterans things and so on. I discovered an awful lot of more interest in it than I even thought there was. So
yeah,
I was.
What age group were you looking at?
Well, of course, most of it is older people. I don't think there was much of a break there, but I guess I'd have to say above 30 or so.
Okay.
Because the younger people just simply don't care, and what we should do is that's our fault, by the way. That's our fault because we actually changed the dates. We actually don't celebrate the actual day. We celebrate it on Monday following the day or whatever, and so we've trivialized the idea of the actual date itself, and that's our fault. That's not to anybody. No, that's not the kids' fault.
Well, I don't know. I mean, are they even being taught this at school? See, I don't know because I don't know anybody that's still in school or recently graduated.
That's right. I'm old enough that I don't ever go to school anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't even go to pick up a kid anymore.
Well, of course, back when you were in school, they didn't have school buses.
Careful. Careful. I wasn't that old. They had school buses when I went to school. I just never used them. Actually, I don't know why, but I don't know that my mother did this, or father, or whomever, but we always lived very close to the school. In fact, about 50% of the time or 60% of the time, our house was the last house in line before we got to the school. Like I was only a block away from the school a lot of the time, and so people would all gather at my house, and then we'd go from there to school. But we always lived close to the school, and we didn't take buses. The only time I lived anywhere far away is for a while I lived out in the country, up in the woods in Washington State, up around Concrete area. And we drove, it was 12 and a half miles to school on a school bus, which was quite an experience.
You had to go to school up both hills and with the snow up to the belly of your horse.
Yeah, at least. But it was really quite interesting because you had to wait. And it was there was snow up there. There was a lot of snow up there. And you have to go out and wait in the snow up to your belly button.
Yes. See, in my day, instead of the horse, it was the snow up to the belly of the skid plate on the motorcycle.
Okay. Well, actually, we had motorcycles up there, too. We just didn't ride them to school. That's too far.
Yes.
Once, well, never mind.
Anyway, 646-721-9887, the chat room. The chat room is not working on Blog Talk, unfortunately, today. So if you are...
The chat room ain't chatting.
The chat room is being
quiet.
Quiet. Yeah, so trying to think of a fancy word to say. It's just being snubbed by the chat.
Mute. Mute.
Muted. Mute.
Yeah. It's
turned me into a mute. Anyway.
Mute, not mute.
So you just have to give us a call, 646-721-9887. As we kind of alluded earlier, getting back to kind of the NSA and the Malaysians. Now, you know, I've been teasing, and Cliff gives me a hard time for this all the time, when I tease about John Conover's Why Read the Bill and Nancy Pelosi's. I assume she buys his houses without reading the contract because that's what she thinks America should do. But one of the headlines, this is from The Hill, is Senator Skip classified briefings on NSA snooping to catch flight homes. To catch the flight homes so they can go home early. And says that only 47 out of 100 senators attend the 2:30 briefing. I can't talk today. Leaving dozens of chairs, you know, in the security meeting room empty.
Well, it's almost always that way. If you ever go on television and look at any of those things, there's hardly ever anybody in there in Congress or in the Senate. They're never there. They're very seldom there. They're only there if they they're sort of there if they have to take a roll call. There's a difference. You can take a roll call by just calling in and telling them they're there, or you can sometimes make sure that you have to be in the room. Because you have to physically answer. And then I've seen times when they've had people sitting in the chair answering for them. They're out doing whatever they want to do, and they hire someone to sit in that chair and answer for them because they've got a staff, you know.
Hey, I got an idea, and I saw this on a movie one time. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was basically it was set in a college, and it started out in an auditorium where the teacher is giving a lecture, and then students start bringing recorders, and pretty soon students stop showing up. And next thing, the scene goes all the way to where the teacher is playing. Nobody's in the room at all. The teacher's got a recorder playing, and there's a whole bunch of recorders in the room.
Yeah.
So maybe what we should do is that if they can't make it, let's use telepresence. I mean, if we hire these guys to represent us, well, shouldn't we demand that they at least show up?
You know, that whole thing is that gets right down to the fact that we don't need teachers at all. All we need to do is have these
Congress.
On Congress.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. We should have should be required to be there. Should be required to be there. I understand what's going on. This is not an important briefing, the NSA briefing, because there's only so much that they can do. And if this is open to the public at all, they can't do anything. NSA is very secretive. NSA is the top secret group in the world. I used to work for the NSA. I know what it is and why it is. And consequently, I know that you don't ever get anything out of the NSA. Now, Senate and I believe Congress are basically, they're allowed to know some stuff. Even them, I don't know how much information that they're given. If they're given at all, if you've got 535 people or whatever it is that know something, you're not going to keep it a secret. It's not going to remain a secret very long. And I don't care how good they are, how nice they are, how important they think they are. It's just not going to remain a secret. You can't keep a secret that well. So consequently, they're not going to give information to that many people that are, you know. And then this business of what was his name, Snow something or other, that's giving these secrets out to the public.
Right.
And supposedly giving secrets out to the public. I don't believe for a minute that he's really giving anything out that's of any importance. If we go back a couple of years to the last time that big secrets were given out and the WikiLeaks or whatever they were, we've already discovered Congress has sat down and decided that we really didn't lose anything. We really didn't give out any information that was of dire consequences at that time. So consequently, it's no big thing. And it's just not. I mean, having been there, you don't know enough. Any individual person does not know enough. They divide everything into threes. And so you only know a third of it, whatever it is. And so whatever your job is doing, you only know a third of whatever there is to know. And chances are, even knowing a third of that, you don't know what that means. You can get a whole bunch of information and sit down and write it down on a piece of paper, or have it type it down on a piece of paper, and you can sit there and read it to yourself aloud, and still not know what you're reading, because everything is secure.
I think you just answered the question about why nothing gets done in government, because nobody knows what they're the information.
The NSA is not government.
No, I'm talking about just in general, but.
Well, government, I understand, and you're probably right there, but NSA is not government. There are people there who are put things together and interpret things and come up with answers, but the standard person, this guy, and he was, I guess he had a clearance. It was not a major clearance, but because they have various degrees of clearances, top secret crypto is the best, the most important one, I guess, but there's just only, you don't, even then, you don't learn that much. You just don't do it. And they do it, they set it up that way on purpose, by the way.
Is that why when the Bush went after the weapons of mass destruction, you can find anything? He only had one third of the information?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that also why Obama doesn't show up for all of his daily briefings, because he figures he's only going to get one third of it anyways?
That's if I was the NSA, I wouldn't give Obama anything.
Yeah, but he's your boss.
Mm-mm. No, he's not. No, he's not. He is not the boss. NSA is an elite group that. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
That's right, especially since they don't have to tap the lines. All they have to do is download an archive.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. They can be listening to us and find out any information that they want. So that's partly, I suppose, why I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
It's probably a good idea.
But I was there. I didn't know how they do it. And I do know that there's just not that much information you can gather. You can give all the information you have. And not give at all. And you
just like don't let out to Venezuela that you're hoarding toilet paper.
Well, actually, you should let it out you should start manufacturing toilet paper, which is what you should do. I don't know, is that government manufacturers?
That's I'll tell you one thing, and this is not a joke, folks. Toilet paper, we take it for granted, and like I say, if you're a woman, that's very important, but. Toilet paper, like here, is actually taxed.
Yeah.
We have a thing, when I used to own my business, we have a thing called a personal property tax for businesses. It's not individuals in Oregon, but if you have a business, you have to claim personal property tax. And toiletries was actually one of the things listed on there, and I called the county, and I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, you put it, how much is your toilet paper worth? And I responded, of course, innocently enough, well, it depends on the need at the time.
Yeah.
Now you put a value on it. If you're not using it, yeah, who cares? If you really need it, I can sell it to you for $10 a roll.
Yeah, really?
But yeah, no, I had to pay a tax on toilet paper.
I don't know about this tax situation. It's
not itemized. I didn't break it down that this roll has 240 sheets and a twin ply.
Okay, I'm going to stop. That's more information than I ever wanted to know about toilet paper.
You've squeezably soft.
not all of it.
Well, when
Kent bought a roll of it's not a box of toilet paper, a plastic bag of toilet paper anyway, bunches of toilet paper, and that was not squeezably soft. I swear to God, the roll itself, it felt like it was made out of cardboard.
I can just see it now, the toilet paper conspiracies. We need to have a toilet paper czar. Obama, get on it.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, that's the thing I'm wondering, though. In Venezuela, is it the government that's manufacturing the toilet paper? How could they have a toilet paper shortage? I mean, you know, if it's a shortage, somebody would get in there and start manufacturing it and make money on it. I mean, that's a big money maker. That's ridiculous that there would be a shortage. So I perhaps suggest that the toilet paper is being manufactured by the government of Venezuela, in which case they're going to be a new government soon.
I got a solution for them, because Venezuela is trying to import 50 million rolls of toilet paper, or you can import about 1,000 Scott rolls, which has a whole bunch on one roll.
Okay. I guess, you know, that's true. Some are bigger than the others. I don't know. I'm not going to start saying, because the women I...
In top stories today, outhouses were raided for their toilet paper.
Yeah. Outhouses should be.
Film at 11.
Yes.
Anyway.
we're well past
the toilet with these jokes. Sorry.
I should change the subject and get onto something real.
Let's change the subject. One of the other things that we brought up is if we're done with toilet paper in the NSA.
Well, we aren't done with the NSA, but we're done with toilet paper.
Okay. What else you got on the NSA?
Oh, well, I didn't have anything. You're the one who had the NSA. The only thing I was going to say is the fact that the NSA is well run, and believe it or not, there are hundreds of people that work for the NSA, and the way that they keep the information from being dribbled out and given away and
Are you supposed to say this, how it's done?
Well, I can tell you how it's done.
Without guys in suits and black dark sunglasses coming to your door?
No, they don't have to have those. They don't have to have those. They have codes, and they have secret codes, but the codes are not secret. You could stand there, and they could read you right in front of you the code of what you're knowing. And like I say, you can sit there and read it. And read it aloud, and read it over again, and hand it to anybody else, and you still don't know what you're reading. You know, it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. And until you actually decode that, and there are only about five people in the whole world that can do that, and that's a manageable amount of people. Until you get down to that level, nobody can understand what's going on. They just gather the information and pass it on. And that's why you don't have to worry about things getting out like that. If people like this guy giving out all this information, he can give out lots of information. He can have his little flashcard drive if he wants to and gather up anything he wants to. But it doesn't put it together. It doesn't make it a single usable thing.
Then maybe if we took the 2,400 pages of Obamacare and divided by three, we'd have 800 pages and make it more manageable.
No, it wouldn't be more manageable. It would just make it more difficult because you'd have to have 800 books and they'd be separated from each other and you wouldn't know what you had then.
Well, it wouldn't be any different than just cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah, this whole thing with the Obama thing, this Obamacare thing, that, I think this is a ridiculous thing in the first place, and the people who are worried about it are just really being paranoid, because I think it's all going to go away as soon as Obama does. And Obama only has a couple of years left to go.
That's right. And, of course, we're going to put his likeness up on Mount Rushmore so that he will be a constant reminder.
No, we're going to put his likeness on I-5 so people can constantly tromp on it.
He'll be in the movies and the books and... Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But other stuff, unless you got anything else on the NSA, I got some immigration news.
Okay.
Okay. The Chuck Schumer is speculating that the Senate is going to pass the immigration bill by July 4th. It's interesting that he's choosing July 4th as a thing, because it is Independence Day. And one of the provisions that originally that they were talking about was securing the border before people can become, you know, secure the border first and then work on the rest of it. Well, apparently that's not going to be the case. In fact, one of the things that they're saying is because we can't go and secure the border because we don't have the money, so we have to push to, quote Marco Rubio. Having a good day.
Marco.
Rubio.
Polo. Yes. Go ahead.
I happen not to have a talk trying to re-pull copy and you're doing that. Anyways, walking up radio. Okay. On Thursday, Senator Marco Rubio said one reason illegal immigrants must be legalized as soon as possible is so that they can help fund the border security measures by paying taxes and fines. Well, one thing that they pointed out on the local talk shows, which is a really good point, is that if you are here illegally and you're not keep paying taxes and you don't have any documentation, how are they going to get any taxes out of you?
Well, they've got to find you first. And so supposedly, well, see, it's all a ridiculous mess because they're not going to find you just because you're illegal. They're not, you know, you're not going to, I mean, all these illegal people are not going to run out and say, hi, I'm illegal, you know, sign me up.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting, because in this information that you sent me, one of the sentences, I guess, his remark appeared to be an inarticulate reference to immigrants' fertility rates, which showed that data are higher than that more native-born Americans. A fact that they're higher. See, there's two things that I think are totally wrong about that.
I think it's racist.
Well, obviously it's racist. That's neither here nor there. But it's totally wrong because in the United States, we're not interested in trying to get as many people here as possible. The people that are coming here illegally are coming here and having their babies. They're what do I say, being fertilized somewhere else, and then they come here to have the baby. That's why their, you know, fertility rates look higher. They're not higher. They're just already pregnant when they get here, and they want that. They want the baby born here, and so that's why that's the case. It's not the truth at all. None of this is the truth. He's totally missed the mark on his statements. He doesn't know what he's talking about,
I believe that is Jeb Bush that you're quoting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He just simply doesn't. And the bad part of it is he's been mentioned as being presidential material. Wrong.
Yeah, and like they're saying that Mama Bush was saying, no more presidents in my family.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Give her her way.
But Senator Rubio was saying, and it just sounds kind of ridiculous. In fact, let me, in the same article, and this is from Breitbart, by the way, hat tip to them, is that the Gang of Eight, which includes Senator John McCain and Lindsey Graham, said that if illegal immigrants are not legalized, we're going to end up paying or borrowing, like we do now, for 40 cents for out of every dollar, and we want to prevent that from happening. Well, it gets back down to, okay, well, part of it is that the border fence was voted on, passed, and was supposed to be worked on. And secondly, how much is the, not just to prevent illegal aliens from coming over here, but how much is the security of our borders worth? I mean, go away from immigration, but how much is the security of our country worth?
Well, in the first place, we better discover how to secure our borders.
Right.
You don't do it by putting up fences. You don't do it by putting guards on the walls, across the perimeter, not walls necessarily. You don't do it that way. You do it by enforcing the laws in effect in our country now. if it was no longer profitable for the people to come into this country and earn more money than they do at home, then they wouldn't be coming. If it was no longer profitable for them to be here, then they wouldn't go through that much trouble and trials and tribulations to go through that kind of thing. You know, they risk their lives. They risk the possibility of being shot and so on in order to come across that border. And they wouldn't do that if it wasn't going to be to their benefit. And so all we have to do is, and there are rules in effect already, I don't think we have to make any rule, just have to utilize as the ones we got, and people would stop coming here. They wouldn't want to come here if they couldn't benefit them anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, and again, the same article, Rubio, who was interviewed on the Andrew Tetros show, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, I apologize, points out, he says, there's no choice but to legalize at least 11 million illegal immigrants, because he said that the country cannot wait another 4 years to enact immigration reform. Well, again, if there was not a path for people to come into this country through the front door, I could be more sympathetic. I mean, I'm sorry, but there is a method of doing it. It's not perfect. There's a limit. There's a reason for the limit.
Well, what he's doing by what he just said is he's creating a huge desire for a lot more people to come into the country. I mean, he's making it very apparent that if they come in, then we're going to forgive them and make them a citizen. But that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, he also says, too, we need to register them as soon as possible, not just to keep the problem from getting worse, but we're going to require them to pay a fine, and that's money that we're going to use to pay for border security. Okay, how many of those people that come over here, I mean, to be honest, how many people that come over here have any money?
A lot of them. They come over here and make the money, and so they could possibly pay the fine. But they're not going to want to pay the fine. What they're going to do is what we've been doing now. We've been gathering up and sending them home, and we do that at our expense. They're going to want to do that continued at our expense, and consequently, maybe for the last time, they're not going to bother to come back again, perhaps, and that would be good. But we're not going to get anywhere. They're not going to pay money. They're not going to spend money, whether it's taxes or fines or whatever it happens to be. They're not going to do it.
Well, here's something I'll throw out there, too. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Okay. Despite the reasons we all, you know, that they come over here, but the thing that some of the employers over here like, or some people like, is that they can hire them because they're illegal for sub-minimum wage. You know,
that's where we should be in the law. I mean, we just sit there and let them do this. We don't care.
Exactly, and that's where I was going with this. Is that if you all of a sudden take 11 million people that are illegal, you know, that are worried about being deported, so they're under they're getting paid under the table or whatever they're doing. And now you just make them all legal. Okay, all those people like the farmers and everything that have said that we can't afford to pay minimum wage for our farm workers, and I'm sure there'll probably be an exception, but we can't afford to pay minimum wage. We have to pay sub-minimum wage or we go out of business. Well, since everybody became legal, then that part of society is going to go away because it'd be you're not going to have anybody that's going to work for half a minimum wage or sub-wage laborers.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the person who sits there and says, we can't afford to pay minimum wage, if we have to pay minimum wage, it'll drive us out of business. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. I totally agree with you. I do not agree with the fact that it's about slave labor. Yes, they say it's going to increase price of goods out in the retail market. Oh, wow, so be it. You know, but again, too, as we talked before about laws, there, you know, change the child labor laws, for example, like Cliff and I have said, people picking in the fields. Cliff and I both have worked in the fields when we were kids. You can't do that now.
Right. There are so many rules and regulations that we have that are stopping us from doing what we should be able to do. One of the things is if the minimum wage is that hard to come up to and to come up with, we need to change it.
Right.
Make it lower. Make it smaller. Make the minimum wage less. Because all we're doing, every time we raise the minimum wage, we're raising the amount of money it costs to live. And consequently, all we do, if we lower the minimum wage, it will lower the rate of living, and everybody will be doing better. And consequently, we need to lower the minimum wage. It doesn't. I don't know how low we need to go, or if they even need to put a minimum wage. But there are some exceptions to minimum wage, even as we sit. There are exceptions to minimum wages of people coming across the border and doing it legally. Some of them can work for less than minimum wage. We should make it possible for young people right out of school to work for less than minimum wage if they want to, because some of them can live at home and don't have to spend a lot of money, doesn't cost them that much money to live.
Well, there has been an argument called a training wage, which has been voted down. In a way, I can see that, too, because it's just like business is taking advantage of internships, you know, where you're exchanging for labor for college credits. You know,
well,
it's free labor.
Don't get me into college, because as far as I'm concerned, college is just ridiculous. Very little benefit to college.
My $50,000 associate degree.
Well, not to speak of the cost of college, it's just very little benefit to it. Everybody has to have it, and so it means virtually nothing. You could be doing it in high school and doing just as well. You don't have to go to college. We don't need to see. In fact, right now in Eugene, and actually in the city of Eugene, they're talking about going to school less hours, like 6 hours less. Now, this is over a year, but 6 hours less a year. And they've done this every year. And we don't have to go to school as long as we do, that amount of time. We're basing that on the slowest kid in the class being able to get everything. We don't have to do that. We could probably educate our people, for everybody from year two, or not year two, well, it's a year two in school, from first grade to the seventh grade or eighth grade, and get all the information in there that we do all the way through college, because we could do that. That's not, eighth graders in high school could get that information just as easily as college kids. Most of could get it more easily than college kids, because for some reason people or kids seem to think that when they go to college, it's a big play date. They're not going there to accomplish anything. They're going there to have sex and play games and burn buildings down and so on and so forth.
I the good old days.
Yeah, that's not the good old days. That was last week.
Oh.
But the thing is, it's just ridiculous that we do that. We could put all of this together and make them work a little harder in school, in actual high school, and instead of taking days or hours off, I'm sorry, it was 6 days that they took off, not hours, and instead of taking days off, make the days more and longer. I really think that we should do the full-time year-round school thing myself, because that's that leaves a 30-day period in the middle of the summer that everybody's off and everybody can go have a party and everybody can go to have time. And that's a little more logical with the time that the parents get off. Of course, that means that the whole country comes to a screeching halt for 1 month in the middle of the summer. There is a minor little problem with that, I suppose. But it's just our system of schools is wrong. The amount of time we go to school is wrong. The amount of education we get in that time is wrong. We need to reconsider all of that, and we're not doing a very good job of it at all, ever.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm just waiting. I thought maybe you might have something to say.
Yeah, I don't want to get started too much on college because I could burn two shows on that one.
Oh, yeah. I was supposedly just talking about the fact that these people who are making these rules and regulations are doing for the wrong reasons, and they don't know what they're doing. Jeb Bush, for one, he's making all kinds of allegations about various and sundry different things, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Most of them don't.
That's true. Well, you know, Jeb Bush, I wouldn't want him as a president at all. To a certain extent, I'm not sure, because Bush the second, the last Bush we had as president, was actually, as far as I'm concerned, he was not necessarily super intelligent, although he was the intelligent one of the family. He still, it wasn't his intelligence that accomplished anything. He was willing to listen to people. He was listening, and then he could come up with putting it all together and coming up with a solution that worked. And he was, more often than not, he was right. And it's not many people that can do that. I don't know, your Rubio guy, Marco Rubio, I'm not sure about him. I've not really spent a lot of time reading about Marco Rubio, and he does spend a lot of time putting out information and talking about things. Rand Paul. He's the one that's making a lot of noise about wanting to become president, and he would be interesting to look at because I think he's got some really logical ideas.
Well, speaking of logical ideas, if you'd like to comment on this or anything else, 646-721-9887. Since I'm the board op, I'm also supposed to give that number out from time to time, too. This just in about 24 minutes ago, by the way, and that's kind of looking at where you were talking. I apologize. Sarah Palin, of course, not being one to miss an op-ed, commented on Jeb Bush's thing about being fertile, and she says that she rebukes Jeb Bush's thing on immigration, saying that she's pretty fertile herself. So that's headline news on that one.
Well, that's terrible because it's what she's been fertilely putting out so far has been bad.
Yeah, get the toilet paper.
I really don't understand why she keeps putting out information and she's not running for anything. She insists she's not running for anything. She has decided at this point she won't even be nominated for anything.
No, but it sells her books.
Well, hasn't sold me a book, so whatever. But I don't know. I don't see anybody yet. We've got to find out who's going to be running for an office so far. We've still got a ways to go before they've actually put up anybody that actually is running. But in the Democratic Party, we don't have any idea who's going to run. The man that's there now can't. He's out, period.
Yeah,
and
was.
The only thing is Hillary Clinton. And as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't put her in there at all. I don't know that she could do I will say she couldn't do a worse job than is being done right now. And I really think I could get away with saying that. When this guy was put in office, I said, how bad can it be? Well, now I know it was much worse than I thought it could be. So, but I don't think we haven't got anybody that stands out yet that's worth running for office or worth supporting for office. Period. Anybody.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens or what's going to happen. But who knows? I mean, part of the idea of getting 11 million people legal is they're counting on 11 million new Democrats that can vote and hoping that, in the term.
I think they're going to be really surprised when they get 11 million new people legal and making them eligible to vote because they're not going to be lemmings, I don't believe. They're not going to sit there and decide to all vote as one group. I think they're going to sort of spread it out a little bit, especially if one party or the other actually puts forth a candidate worth voting for. We haven't found a candidate worth voting for yet. Either party, it doesn't make any difference. And I don't believe that these 11 million people would sit back and all of them agree that they really like what President Obama has done or is doing. His popularity has gone down and down and down. It's continuing to do so as we speak. And I don't think they're going to care. I think they'll.
I don't think anybody cares. I think that's why half of the people in the Senate don't even show up anymore. They don't care. They're just out there for their own little thing, and either they're so far out of touch with everything else. Just like again, back to the immigration stuff, as I'm reading here, Schumer once again saying, if you believe that they should all be self-deported or whatever else, I'd like you to hear before accusing Republicans of throwing out estimates of new immigrations without comparing those figures of the cost of doing nothing. But then he argues that we have a broken system, but yet they don't go down and really get into details of how it's broken. And then the follow through, like what you're saying, is that what good is it going to do to pass any type of system or come up with anything else if they don't follow the laws that they are currently on the books or even the laws that they're going to put on the books?
That's right. If you just make more laws, all they're going to have is some more laws to ignore. I won't even say they're going to break the laws. I'm just going to say they're simply going to ignore them, which is what they're doing now. They're here. They're available, and they're not being done. Nothing is being done to punish them in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And consequently, when we add new laws to it, there's going to be nothing to do to punish them. And then, at that time, we're not going to accomplish anything. And we need to accomplish something by controlling the people that we do have control over, the law-abiding citizens that are hiring these people that are at least partially law-abiding. We've got to let's put some people in place to go out and check and see how much they're paying people and why they're doing it and how they're doing it. And if they're not doing it right or not doing it properly, then we need to go after them, not the people that are here getting these jobs. We need to go about the people making the jobs available.
Well, and you just kind of make Chuck Schumer's point, and let me quote here. He says, let's do some simple math here. You're adding 11 million people. They're already here. And by the way, and I'm quoting, they're competing for jobs right now. I ride my bicycle around Brooklyn early in the morning, and I see people gathered on the street corners, okay? And I see a guy in a truck who comes over and says, I'll give you $10 if you work all day, and they're competing with Americans who won't accept $10 a day to work for those jobs. Well, first of all, I can't picture Chuck Schumer on a bicycle, for one thing. But secondly, like you said, okay, that guy that's offering $10 a day, why isn't anybody going after him as well?
That's right. That's right.
He's in violation of wage and hour rules, no matter what your legal status is.
And hello, he's easy to find. He's easy to find. He's on every corner where you see a bunch of people waiting to get a job. He's easy to find. Simply stop and catch him and say, okay, here you are. Give him a fine of $500 or so every time they stop him, and it won't take long before he changes his mind.
A long time ago, I worked for a job. It was just delivering. I can't remember what company it was, but people would call in, they'd order tickets, and my job was to deliver to them to their house.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for like a day or two, and as it turned out, that the actual amount I made, because I was paid per piece basis, since it didn't work out to be what the minimum wage was, wage and hour division got involved, and they forced the company to reimburse me what I would have got if I was paid hourly.
Oh, wow. That probably hurt them.
It probably did, but see, that's what they should be doing here, that if they get caught and...
No, I disagree. They shouldn't be forced to do anything. What we should do is bring the minimum wage down or abolish it entirely. We should make it available, you know, first come, first served. If you want to work at that kind of wage, you can work at that wage. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I just don't believe in making it a minimum wage. I mean, I'm not going for that.
Well,
I mean, I know that as an employer, I know that there are times when minimum wage was hard for me to meet.
Well, I'll tell you, from one thing is that if you're out of work, and there's a lot of people in the Eugene area that are sitting on the corners, and some by
oh boy,
but if you're out of work, you don't give a rat's whatever about how much minimum wage is. All you know, you just need some money.
That's right. That's right.
The law.
Instead of being beggars on the corner, they could be actually employed and making money, just not quite as much. And I agree, it's hard to keep control of it, because I know there's going to be people who take advantage of that. But if there are people who want to take advantage of it, or are allowing themselves to be taken advantage of, let them.
Exactly. I mean, like, okay, I agree, you know, there should be some controls or whatever. And, of course, the marketplace can decide that as well. But like I said, is that if you're, as a legal citizen of the United States, you cannot legally go to work for somebody and make less than minimum wage. Less than the federal minimum wage.
Not legally.
But
so now we've got people who are out of work, and basically there are hundreds of thousands of them because we've got the unemployment statistics, which are totally wrong because now we've got people that are even off the books or off the records that are still unemployed. And so we've got hundreds of thousands of employable people that would be willing probably to work for much less than minimum wage. And we're requiring them not to be. We'd solve a lot of that problem.
Well, there was a, and I'm going to try and go by memory, but over in your area of Cottage Grove, you might even recall this, those little squeezable flashlight, keyring flashlights. The company allowed people to do piecework. They can take them home, put them together. They were paid like 50 cents a piece for doing it, and it was great for retired people or people want to make some extra money. And it worked out great for both parties involved. You know, if you want to really make a lot of money, you get together and you make a lot of flashlights. If you just want to, you know, make a couple extra dollars, you made a few extra dollars and whatever. You know, it worked out great. And but the state got involved and says, no, I'm sorry. These people are contract employees, or they're employees, and you got to pay them minimum wage, along with all the taxes and everything else that goes along with having employees.
Well, see, that's where we're wrong. We need to get rid of that type of philosophy. We need to get rid of that idea, the idea that the government is all right and constantly can make you do what you don't want to do. These people were, everybody was happy with what they were doing. Now, people could get in there, and true, maybe they didn't want to, you know, there were a few people, I'm sure, who didn't really want to work and wanted to get, you know, $10 an hour for sitting there and making one flashlight a day, and that's ridiculous. You just, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it this way, and we should allow people to do that. That should be a prerogative of the company involved.
Right. But again, there'll always be somebody that will abuse the system. You know, why should I hire you at minimum wage when I got somebody that'll come in here and work for half of it?
Well, again, by working for half of it, there's got to be something that you lose. In other words, we can't allow people just to go in and work for half of what everybody else is willing to work for and get all of the benefits. So consequently, there's got to be something involved that you're missing out on when you're working for that wage. There's got to be some sort of, I don't want to use the word control, but that's probably the word I'm looking for, but some sort of a option that makes it a little less desirable to work for that low money.
Well, again, it's a catch-22. But you can bet that, you know, if and when, because it probably will pass, because, like I say, everything is money. Bottom line, even the immigration thing, do you really think that the people in Congress really care about the people that cross the borders and the fact that, you know, we have 11 million people over here, you know, whatever? Do you really think that they really care about them?
Well, they do to the extent that it's their job and it's what they're trying to do and what they're trying to work out a solution for. They care that. They don't care about the people and they don't care about what they're doing. They care about it as a problem that they're trying to solve.
Is it a problem because they're trying to solve, or is it a problem because their ignorance caused it?
Well, I don't know about saying their ignorance caused it. Their lackadaisical attitude, their careless attitude was what caused it. They could care less about whether those people are here or not here. They could care less about what they're making as long as it doesn't bother them. Well, it does bother them when they become responsible for them, and that's what they are. Is the Congress is basically being held responsible for what is happening, and which is what they're supposed to be responsible for. That's the whole idea.
Well, you think, but you know, you think that, well, like I said, Congress's job is to represent the people. But I think that Well, it just seems like Congress's job is to represent Congress.
Yeah, yeah. Congress's job is to see to it that, regardless of what they go in at, that they can make sure they are going to retire a millionaire.
Yes. But, you know, one question I would really like to answer, and I guess what I'm putting this out to is the people that have actually come from Mexico or from other countries, not just to pick on Mexico, is when you have 11 million, and that's really a conservative estimate, because they used to say, you know, between 18 to 20 million, but we'll go with 11 million, people that are fleeing a country to come over here supposedly to make a better life. Why don't those 11 million people get together and get maybe their own country? Because that would seem to be that that's enough people getting together. You can have one heck of a revolution.
Because if you get together and make your own country, then you've got to also make the opportunities to work and to make money, and that would not be available in a country that you created of your own. You'd have to take part of our country away from us to do it.
Yes.
And we're hopefully not going to allow that to happen. However, do you realize that they've decided that as of this year, and as looking at births, that the white people are no longer going to be in the majority period?
Oh, we start getting minority preferences?
We are. Well, I don't know. Depends on how long it is, but there's going to be a time, yes. Yep. If this continues on, because as it is, you know, we are in the minority right now, I think, because we're not at this particular point, we're not in the majority. We're in the majority, but we're not counting that 11 million.
That's true. And they're all fertile.
And so, yeah, really. The thing is, I don't believe that fertility business. I believe that that they were doing their fertility act before they came here.
I don't know. I don't care. There's some things that's left to behind closed doors.
That's the case. But you know, I've known a lot of illegal immigrants. Let's put it that way, and they were not coming over here. They came over here to have kids, but they didn't come over to make kids.
Right. Well, maybe that should be something as part of their... Now, I haven't actually read the bill. Yes, I admit it. I haven't read the bill because... for one thing, the bill started out as 350 pages. Now it's up to over 1,000 pages, and it's growing. But if I was putting something together, I would say, first of all, you know, the plumber's theory that you can't fix the holes in the pipe, so you shut the water off, first of all. And then secondly, I would enforce the laws once they are in place. And, you know, in other words, go back to, yeah, you've ignored the problem, which created a problem, and now you've got a new problem to deal with. And unfortunately, it's affecting, well, like I say, 11 plus million people's lives because of it. Oops. Okay. Well, you can stop it at that point. You may not be able to, I mean, these 11 million are over here already. You know, too big to handle, but maybe you can slow down what caused it and prevent it from growing.
That's it. You don't turn off the spigot at the border. You don't try to stop it there. You stop it at each individual faucet inside the country. In other words, don't make it so easy to get a job. Make sure that you're paying attention to the employers.
Right.
If you pay attention to the employers and put a few of them in jail for not paying the proper amount or for, well, you could solve the whole problem by just eliminating the
Well, yeah, because otherwise you're starting this stuff like this is Yahoo News. The bill allows people illegally in the United States to obtain a, are you ready for this, registered provisional immigrant status 6 months after enactment, as long as they meet certain criteria, and the Secretary of Homeland Security has developed plans to secure the border and erect new border fencing where needed. Okay, well, that's a two-part thing. You know, are you going to get your registered provisional after the fence goes up or whatever? Maybe the illegals should go put the fence up. I don't know. But the whole point is, like you said, you're already illegal. First of all, there's a risk in coming forward.
Yeah.
Okay, because once you come forward, you're in the system.
Well, that's true. That's true. Once your name is there, you're... Well, the thing is, a lot of times your name is there just to send you back again.
Well, yeah. And there is talk about using biometrics to keep you from coming back. But then again, what does it matter? Because being in the country illegally is only a misdemeanor. Being deported and returning is a felony. But we read articles where people have come back 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times and still never see jail time.
Well, yeah, it's only a... Yeah, what does a felony mean? Felony doesn't mean anything in this particular case because they're not citizens.
And take it a step further. As a citizen, following the example of the government, why should we follow the laws?
That's true.
If so many people... You know, if you got 11 million people that are breaking the law and they're not going to enforce it, then what about the rest of the population of the United States if we just all decided that, let's see, I got to go down as a citizen of the United States to get a driver's license or renew my license. I have to show my birth certificate, proof of address, and other information. But if I'm not a citizen in Oregon now, thanks to the governor, all I have to do is show I've lived here for a year. Okay, well, maybe I don't want to go through all that hassle of showing my birth certificate or to get another one or whatever. And I'll just say, I'm here illegally. Here's my utility bill. I've been here a year. You're exempt from Obamacare. Otherwise, the rest of us have to pay a fine if we don't have qualifying insurance.
I don't know. It's just... The whole thing, insurance, that I get upset about that I don't understand it. I don't follow it. I don't even have it. I don't drive. My life has changed radically since I got old.
Well, it's not just car insurance, it's just insurance in general, thanks to the Obamacare. But my point is that we're starting to feel like we're second class citizens because, you know, the requirements for us to do something are more stringent, but if somebody comes in illegally now, nothing's done. I mean, it's not even politically correct to even use the word illegal alien anymore.
Really, really. So if you think you're upset about being a second-class citizen, what if you were unemployed and still a second-class citizen? We got thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people sitting in the unemployed market. I mean, how are they living? How are these people living? A lot of them, like you say, are living on the corner of the street, living under bridges, living in places. This is not one of the places that people live because it gets cold here in the winter. Mm-hmm. But in the warmer sections of the country, you see thousands and thousands of them, but we've got to stop this. We're worrying about all of this, and we're letting our own people go. We're letting our own citizens go, let them fall apart.
And you want to bring 11 million plus more people in into the country where we're already competing against jobs and low wages?
And they keep talking about letting them turn into citizens or giving them a break of how to get to be citizens. Look at, we did this once before, and we gave amnesty once before, and all it did was radically speed up the intake of more illegal immigrants, right or wrong or legal or not. They are illegal immigrants. And so we have 100 times many now as we did then, and they're going to try to make them all legal again? I mean, this gets ridiculous. Why don't we just open our borders and say, hi, welcome home?
Well, I think you're going to beat me to the point. I've not heard this question asked, and I'd like to hear this on the talk shows, especially the network talk shows. Okay, I wave my magic wand, and all of a sudden 11 million people are now legal. How does that change their lives?
That depends on the person. Most of them, it doesn't change their lives. Some of them will accept that and start acting within the law, but I don't think most of them will because they're not going to want to be identified.
Well, yeah, because if, like I say, magic wand is waved, you know, now everybody's legal and they got to follow the same thing we do, and of course, you know, that means, I'm going to say follow the letter of the law. You make income, you got to report it. You know, you got to file your taxes every year because now you're in the system. If you don't file your taxes, you know, Uncle IRS is going to come and take a look at you and have a chat with you. If you're
what are we going to do with the ones that are unemployed? Are we going to start giving them unemployment insurance?
Well, you just beat me to that. I mean, unless you are qualified for unemployment.
Well,
you have to. I mean, you might be able to go on welfare if you have kids. You might be able to go on food stamps. Welfare, I mean, unemployment, again, you have to meet the qualifications for it, but there are other assistance programs. Again, if you're not working and you don't have any skilled labor and you're illegal, that's not going to change your life. It's going to make it hard for you to get a job. In fact, maybe even harder because now you come under the same qualifications or requirements that everybody else does.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it could make it even more difficult to get along. I don't think it accomplishes a thing. It really doesn't accomplish a thing. And the only way we can actually control this is by enforcing the rules and laws that are already there.
Exactly.
And until we do that, we haven't accomplished anything.
Well, and that was the other point I was going to make. I'm reading all these news articles, and they keep referring to, you know, a broken system and that, you know, the laws need to be changed. But they don't really,
if they actually came up with laws and if they actually came up with solutions, they'd find, if they'd look at what the solutions, the laws are already there.
Right.
Nothing is broken. We just don't enforce it.
The only thing I could see that would really be broken is that people that go spend thousands of dollars to come through the front door, you know, some of them have to wait 5, 6, 7 years to actually make it in. Okay, I will agree. That is a heck of a long time to go through and do the process, and what's the reason for it? Is it a backlog or whatever? You know, how long does it take to do a background check? How long does it take to do whatever? I mean, a couple months, maybe 6 months, I could see. You know, 4 or 5 years? No, that's way too long.
Okay, you're missing the point. The point is that we're only supposed to allow X amount of people into the country at a time,
exactly.
And then we have to wait.
Right, exactly. You beat me to it again. You're doing good. We got 9 minutes left in the program.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can still give us a call, 646-721-9887. Again, the chat room is still down, unfortunately, but, you know, this has been a week of things not working right. But 646-721-9887 if you want to chime in on the last 9 minutes of the program and tell us what you think. If you have missed the live program and you're listening to us on the archives, again, please send us an email, your opinions, and if they're suitable for air, we'll read them on the program.
Even if they're not, we'll make them that way.
Yes, we'll.
We'll make up funny little words to go for the bad ones.
Yeah, we'll redact the bad stuff out.
Yeah.
But
we got a really sharp, well, a really broad black pen.
Exactly. But I would like to hear, especially from the other side, per se, because I, you know, to be honest, you know, the opinions that I have is only based on from what I read and my experience, you know, and the people that I talk to. I'd love to hear, you know, if somebody wants to, you know, send an email, you know, we'll keep you anonymous. Somebody that's come here from another country, whether you're legal or not, I'd love to hear your opinion and your take on all this. And, you know, again, from the other side, per se.
Well, I can't see any logical way that we can fix things by making more rules, by making more laws. It isn't something that can be fixed that way. It has to be something that is fixed from the inside out. We have to change how people are doing things in this country, and we have to do it by enforcing the laws that we already have on the books. We already have almost all the laws on the books that we could use to enforce, to keep that. I don't want to say to keep people out, but to keep people from wanting to come in is the point. And if people don't, you got to understand the only problem with this whole thing is that we're talking about a country that is unbelievably poorer than we are. The Mexican people, I think there's an awful lot of them. We're told that they're not in such poverty as we think, But I don't believe that for a moment. I believe that the poverty level in Mexico is far, far, far worse than they're telling us.
Even though Mexico, from what I understand, is a very rich country, but, you know, again, we're not just talking about Mexico. You know, we're talking
rich only for the people who run the country.
Right.
Maybe a couple of people who own oil wells or who own this and own that, but that's very, very minor. I believe the majority of people in Mexico are living far below poverty rate.
Right. No, I agree. But then again, there's people here in the U.S. that are living far below poverty rate.
And of course, I can say that's because the Mexican people are here. I'm determined to get myself in trouble. But the point is, this whole thing is based on the huge amount of people that come from across that border with Mexico. It's not the huge amount of people that come from Italy or from Spain or someplace like that. It's a huge amount of people that come across the border from Mexico. They don't even come back across the border from Canada. They have the opportunity to do that from Canada. But that's because Canada is a much, much richer country, the way they're running their country. And consequently, they don't need to come across that border. They're coming across the border to do it differently. They come across the border to shop, to buy things, because actually they make more money than we do.
Hmm. Well, like I said, I don't want to pick on one country per se, because it's not all just one country. I just didn't want to go there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how many people are coming from Venezuela or someplace like that. I don't know what the situation is in all the rest of the South American countries, because I know some of them are as poor as Mexico. But the thing is, the majority of people that are here, we could fix this. We could fix this by just doing the proper thing of running the rules, and it wouldn't cost us any more than it's costing us to do it now. We just have to spend our money and put our people in a different place.
Hey, since we're talking about reform, I got a good reform that we could start promoting.
Okay.
Congress and Senate, we could start working on getting people up there to start not only following the law, but start showing up and doing their job. And maybe we should think about retiring, you know, a couple hundred people up there and start focusing that way.
Well, I think that's going to happen a lot more of this. With this last election we had changed a lot of people and probably some ideas. But again, we've got to get rid of the people who are not elected people, not elected to Congress. We've got to get rid of the people who are working in that position and are not changed. There's a whole different group of people there. It is Congress we have to fix, but a different part of it I think we're thinking of.
That's right. And I'll leave it with just remember, we the people. And by the way, if you're in Oregon, the Relay for Life, the Cancer Society fundraiser is this week in Cottage Grove. If you get a chance, show up there. You're nationwide. It's a good cause. If you have a few extra dollars, give them a donation. So, again, we'll see you next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Have a good weekend.
You have a good day.
Be sure to check us out on the Internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.